Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. Hello again. Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. Again, we talk about all things private practice here, and specifically today, I really wanted to talk about marketing strategies. Now, marketing is one of those really big topics that I know a lot of us get kind of intimidated with. You know, we didn't go to school for business. We certainly didn't go to school for marketing. And, you know, gone are the days where you could just kind of hang your shingle. You know, it's not a, if you build it, they will come, field of dreams kind of thing here. Doctors need to know something about marketing. And we have different companies that, you know, are always hitting us up that we could, you know, try to work with, and there's money involved. And I think if you have a basic understanding of marketing, then it will help prevent you from falling into some of the pitfalls. And it'll also help you to dictate the direction that you want your practice to go, which is really why we're here, right? Like, we want to design the practice of our dreams, which is going to involve us dictating and having some control over where the practice is moving forward. Now, obviously, going through marketing in one podcast is kind of impossible, and I won't be able to touch on everything in one podcast. And it's going to be different for every practice. That's going to depend a lot on where you're at with your practice, if you're looking to scale, if you're just trying to look to get started. So I'm going to give more of some general strategies and ways of thinking about marketing so that you have a good mental framework moving forward. So the general strategy with marketing, in my opinion, is that there should be two focuses, your primary focus and your secondary. Your primary focus needs to be about creating raving fans for your practice. And there are different ways that you can do this, but you need to focus on the patients that you're getting, making sure that they have just an absolutely amazing experience with your practice, because the secondary focus is going to be getting new fans. Now, I know that most of the time we always think, well, marketing is how we get new people in the door. That is not true. If you take care of the people you are getting in the door, even if it's just the first couple, that will feed your secondary focus because of something that I like to call the value of referral. Now, the value of referral, I think, is broken up into kind of three tiers. The first tier of referral is going to be the most trusted, which is going to be your friend or family member referral. This has everything to do with your patient's experience while they are in office. This is about patient retention and having that family member refer somebody else. So if you're looking at a patient's experience, you need to start with the very beginning. What are that patient's interactions with your office and with your staff regarding making an appointment? Are they able to do it easily online? Are they having to call in and interact with your staff? And it's fine to do it either way, but you need to make sure that right out the gate, that experience with just being able to make an appointment, how easy it is, how the staff talks with your patient, that is an important first step. The second step is, once that patient comes into the office, what is their first impression of being in the office? How does the staff welcome them? How easy is your paperwork to fill out? I have been in offices where, as a patient, I have filled out paperwork on a tablet. I thought that was great. Personally, I've looked into it for me, and my EMR doesn't really allow me to do that. I really can't afford the EMR that allows you to do that, so we still do it by paper. How easy and quick is that paperwork to fill out? That's an important thing to think about. The third thing is your overall office setup. What is the vibe in your office? Is it relaxing? Does it feel like this person's going into a doctor's office that's really sterile, or does it just feel like a clean and welcoming environment? Personally, I would recommend the latter of the two, but that's my opinion. And then, how long is the wait time? If people are having to wait for a really long time, I think that there is a need to look at your overall schedule, for one thing, but you don't want people waiting a long time. Or at least, if they have to wait for a while, have your staff set up to offer them something to drink, offer them a bottle of water, a cup of coffee, something to pass the time. Then there's the overall experience that they have with you as the doctor. I'm going to do a different podcast on very specific things to help increase your relatability as a physician with your patients, but doing things like sitting at eye level with the patient is surprisingly important. Listening to them, making eye contact, asking questions, giving an explanation that is thorough and in patient terms. Think about it as if you're talking to a non-medical family member of your own. Offering treatment options and letting the patient choose is really important. Make them feel empowered in their treatment decisions. And then make sure you ask if there's any further questions before you leave so that they feel that they're heard. And then the final thing is, what's your checkout process? It needs to be fairly easy to get that person rescheduled. Some people like to have their medical assistant come into the exam room to make the next appointment. I did this during COVID just to keep exposure down between our patients, but now we've moved back to just doing it at the front desk. Either way, it needs to be easy. Those are the in-office experience items that you really have control of, and you just need to think of it from the very start of their interaction with your office to the very finish of it. Now, the second value of referral is going to come from another physician that this patient trusts. This is where your referrals from your primary care or from another doctor that they've worked with, if they really like that doctor, they're going to go see a doctor that that doctor has recommended. That's part of the deal. We all know this. When it comes to another physician, the thing to keep in mind is that communication is key. It sounds so easy to do these things, but yet when we get busy, we completely forget about it. So the first part of cultivating that relationship with other physicians is, do they even know you're there, right? You need to go from unknown or running with the pack of the rest of your specialty to, hey, I'm here and this is what I can offer that's different from everybody else. So making sure that they not only know that you're there and available, but specifically what services you offer, what it is that makes you different. You also want to make sure that they know that you're available to them. So a lot of doctors will offer their cell phone number up to referring physicians. Hey, message me if you need anything. That's great. If you're comfortable doing that, I think that's a wonderful way to go. Also, making sure that making a referral is easy for them to do. And I'm not necessarily talking about the physician, because we all know that we don't really make the referrals. Usually we're busy and we ask our office staff or a referral coordinator to, can you make sure that this person gets in to see blank? When you are making yourself available to another physician, make sure you're making yourself available to whoever it is that does their referring. If you can put yourself in front of that person, then while the other physician may not quite have you on their radar yet, their referral coordinator certainly does. And I'll also tell you, if you show up with pastries, they really like that. The last thing to do with another physician's office is make sure that you send notes. If they referred them, absolutely send the note back with your whole plan and what you're going to be doing. But even if it is a new patient, I always ask who their primary care physician is and whether that physician is a referring physician or not, whether that's how this patient got there or not, I send a note. And what starts happening is suddenly that physician starts actually referring me patients because they want to be kept in the loop. They want to know who it is that their patient is seeing, not just that they went to go see a podiatrist in my case, but also who they went to see and what the patient's experience was with this. Patients absolutely will give feedback to their primary referring physician or their primary care physician regarding how a visit went with another doctor. Now, especially if it is not, you know, a provider that has referred to you specifically, I think it's important to also send along with the note just a quick letter saying how happy you were to see their patient and ask if there's anything that you can do to help their patients or help them grow their practice. That shows an initiative and that you're wanting to be part of the community of care providers in your area. You may also want to send some kind of quarterly or yearly remember me and thank you. Typically, I send something that the office staff will enjoy and appreciate, not just the physician. And I think that's important to remember that it takes a whole team to run that office. And finally, the third value of referral comes from usually online. You need to have a lot of good recommendations online from people someone have never met in order to really get any kind of value out of that referral. Online, you want to focus on making yourself trustworthy and somebody who's providing information of value. This can be done by making sure that you're offering good quality information on your website. You can do a video with a welcome for new patients. Generally, you want to have an intro to the practice and maybe answer some general questions about how you approach treatment, how you approach medicine, your thoughts on patient care. This gives the opportunity for patients to essentially meet you before they're meeting you. And it is a really strong referral source when people are just kind of window shopping online. And finally, online, it's important to have good reviews and good patient testimonials. Some people will decide to do patient video testimonials. I do find that patients have a little bit of resistance to it, but I think if you can make that really easy to do in your office that day, that there's no pressure, you can actually have a staff member take the video for you and have a standard set of two or three questions they can ask the patient about their experience. And you might be surprised how many people are willing to do this. But mostly it's asking for reviews. It is extremely difficult for some of us, myself included, to ask people for a review. It feels weird. And it's always felt a little weird to me. So please don't worry if it does feel weird. But basically, if you're getting the feeling that you've had a really good interaction with a patient, they are far more likely to leave a review if the physician asks them to do so. And you just make it easy. You just say, hey, you know, I'm so glad that this was such a good experience. It was so nice to meet you. If there is any chance that you get time, would you mind going ahead and leaving us a review on Google? That would really help us to create awareness in the community about our practice and what we have to offer, and it would really help us grow the business. Very simple, very quick, no pressure. And I always do recommend having some kind of practice management software, whether it's for your EHR or through a third party, where you're able to very easily send out a text request to a patient after a visit for a review. It's an effective way for them to just click a link, give the review, and it's done. Now, I get asked all the time about whether or not advertising on social media like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok has value for private practice. I will say that putting out information that is educational for people is great. And I do think that that helps you build some credibility. But I think specifically advertising on Facebook and Instagram, you know, there's a couple problems with it. One, you are working against the fact that these are larger social media platforms that are constantly changing their algorithms for what they are allowing people to see and not see. And unless you have an in on knowing what that algorithm is, which I would love to know if you do, you're really kind of fighting a larger system that you don't know anything about. And you can sink a lot of money into that really quickly. And then the second part of it is you're really just kind of hoping when you do an ad on social media that you're throwing that out there and it's going to happen to land in the right patient's feed at the time that they need you. You know, when I work with patients that have heel pain, if I was to throw that out on Facebook, I'm really hoping that it's going to show up on the feed of somebody who happens to have heel pain and it's hurting them right at this very moment and they happen to be looking for a doctor. So keep in mind that, you know, unless you're really using a funnel marketing system to really repeat those interactions so that you can get people to book with you, you know, the occasional ads and posts that you can put out on social media really just don't have the return on investment that the other methods of referral that we've gone through have. You know, just keep in mind that people don't go scrolling through Facebook and Instagram looking for a doctor. However, they do Google search for them. So this is why I really recommend making sure that you have reviews and that you're providing good information on your website, because people are going to type in what they're looking for. You want them to be guided to your website, and then you want to provide good information. This will help them make the decision to come see you as a physician. Now, all of this for coming up with your value of referral may seem really complicated and really time consuming. Truly, it's not. There are pretty easy systems to implement within your practice so that this just becomes something that happens. You don't really have to think about it. You don't have to put a lot of time into it. It just happens. Your staff is part of the process. But if you decide that you need help with this, which I have, I certainly use a marketing company, we should talk a little bit about using marketing companies. again, I want to stress that the primary focus for you should be creating raving fans in your existing patient population. And then the secondary focus should be on getting new fans in the door. And for the most part, when people are listening to friends, family, other physicians, those referrals are going to come on their own. That word of mouth referral system is gold. But a marketing company should be able to help you focus on both the primary and secondary aspects of marketing so that you can focus on medicine. Now, I have seen a lot of ads where a marketing company is talking about only patient acquisition. So they're only talking about that secondary focus of how do we get you new fans. And they'll make claims like 30 days and 30 new patients, or it's free and your money back. Like, okay, let's talk about this here. One, are these even the kinds of patients that you want? And two, does this fit your brand? You know, are they bringing in the types of patients that you're wanting to see? Is it for the type of services that you're wanting to bring in? Because if there's no conversation about that and they're just saying, oh no, we'll get you 30 new patients, well, that's great. But is that really what you want? And then the other part is, do you have the internal setup to be able to handle 30 new patients in 30 days? If you're currently short-staffed and you're struggling to see the number of patients that you currently have, 30 new patients in 30 days may not be the best idea. But either way, at that point, they've fulfilled their promise. If you're talking to a marketing company and all they're being able to offer you is to redo your website, do some of your SEO or your search engine optimization and run some Facebook ads for you just to bring new patients in without any idea how your brand is being executed while you are in office, you're just going to end up spending money with them. And maybe you'll get the patients, maybe you won't, but really, truly, you're just spending money. And that's not the point of marketing. You want to be spending your money effectively. In my opinion, when you're discussing potential practice plans with a marketing company, the company should be focused on both your primary focus of creating new raving fans and your secondary focus of bringing in new fans. So they should be helping you identify and build your brand. They should be ensuring that you are easy to find. And that is where revamping your website and the SEO and the social media come in. They should be listening to what you want for your practice and not just trying to sell you some standard package that they believe is a one-size-fits-all, because no practice is exactly the same as the next. So it shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all practice. And then the other thing is, they should assign you a contact person, somebody that you're going to be working with regularly, that if problems come up, you have someone to contact. And finally, you need to ask about what their reporting structure is. How do they plan to follow up with you on what marketing strategies are working and what's not? They are doing a review of what ads they're putting out and what marketing strategies they're using. So there needs to be some conversation planned with you, either monthly or bi-monthly, depending on how things are going, regarding what's working and what's not, so that you can make decisions on moving forward with your strategies. Now, like I mentioned before, I do work with a marketing company, and this one I've actually worked with for a few years now because we just really see eye to eye on the vision for the practice and where things are going. And I think that's really important to have that relationship. But I've had quite a few marketing companies in the past, and some of them it just didn't work with. I think that when you're first starting out, a lot of your marketing will just be focused in the value of referral areas that I talked about earlier. So if you're able to just focus on giving your patients an amazing experience in your office, both with your staff and with you, with the onboarding and the offboarding for making their next appointment, then you'll get that friend and family referral. You'll get those referrals from the other physicians. And you're able to do, you know, asking for reviews, you're able to do a little bit of your own online presence boosting. You can start to get some of that social media credibility on your own without having to hire a marketing company. However, at some point, if you are doing your marketing correctly, you are going to be too busy to be able to do a lot of this stuff on your own. And that is when you consider hiring a marketing company. So please just keep in mind some of the things that I had mentioned. If you get to this point in your practice, maybe come back and listen to this podcast again to make sure that you really understand when you're kind of, you know, being sold 30 patients in 30 days versus somebody who's really trying to get an in-depth understanding of your goals for your practice. As always, implementing strategies in marketing in your own practice is going to be individualized. It's not going to be the same for every practice. So if you are struggling to come up with ways to really put this into play, please feel free to reach out to visionarypracticesolutions.com. We can make a free consultation appointment just to discuss whether or not you really could benefit from individualized coaching to really level up your practice. Marketing is a huge part of it. I think absolutely everybody can kind of start assessing their practice with some of the things I've given you today. But if you need that extra little bit of help, please feel free to reach out. We will see you next time on the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast.